Welcome, Pobert Film Club. I am Kevin Werkheiser. With me, as always, to my left is Chris Tognati. To his left, Sean Hurlbert. To his left, not politically speaking, Sean Sterling. To his left, Seth Milstein. And joining us this week is our buddy Connor Houghton. This week, we're reviewing Run, Fat Boy, Run. Sean Hurlbert, why don't you synopsize this for us?
Well, Run, Fat Boy, Run is the feature film debut of one David Schwimmer. It stars as Simon Pegg, a cult favorite, and Thandie Newton, and Hank Azaria, and deals with basically Simon Pegg kind of picking up the pieces after he left his soon-to-be wife, who was pregnant at the altar. And it takes place 5 years later, and so he tries to win his way back into the woman of his dreams heart. But she seems to have her eyes on Hank Azaria, so can he succeed?
All right, Sean Sterling, why don't you start us off?
Not bad. It wasn't a bad movie. It was a pretty sweet, well spirited movie. I wasn't too crazy about it because it didn't start off really too funny, and he sort of does a pretty bad thing at the beginning of the movie, so I wasn't like really too jazzed into the atmosphere. But I mean, there's a couple scenes that really sort of surprised me in terms of how sincere they felt in a lot of ways, and I warmed up. And you know, there's also some good jokes in there too, and it doesn't really wear out its welcome. It's just the right length, and yeah, it's not bad. I mean, it's not too sensational. I mean, I've enjoyed other efforts by a lot of the people involved. I even enjoy probably some Friends episodes more, but you know, not bad.
I liked it. It's kind of a weird movie because it's rare that I see a movie where each act gets progressively better. Because the first third of it, I was just kind of like, you know, there are a few funny bits, but I was like, you know, it's not really doing it. And the second act, kind of good, but I was definitely on board by the end.
Like, even like with the jokes that don't work well, because usually in a comedy, a lot of the comedies recently I've noticed this, where the joke doesn't work well and really doesn't work well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the jokes that just fell flat on this one, I was like,
there's something that you've really grown at, like hide your head from.
Even though there's like some gross ass stuff in it, it's sort of all...
I like the bit with the pimple, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that was fun. That was good fun. It was funny to see the Team America poster in the background while they were doing that, sort of a...
Oh, I didn't catch that.
I thought it was all right. I definitely agree. It got way better as time went on. And it started off just really, really just very weak. But it didn't get a lot better for me. It felt like just a romantic comedy that was okay, that I didn't regret having seen. And from those people, from Michael Ian Black and Simon Pegg, both sort of crazy, you know, can take a genre that you think you've seen and make sort of reinvent it. To have them do a romantic comedy should be something that we all celebrate and are excited about. Instead of something that we're just sort of... It wasn't a terrible movie. It was an okay romantic comedy.
Yeah,
to me, and without any of sort of the stylistic, you know, trademarks that maybe they could have put on it. I would say I prefer Jersey Girl to this in terms of just trying to make a romantic comedy that, you know, by somebody who doesn't generally do mainstream things.
That's weird.
I really like Simon Pegg.
He's
a legitimately good actor.
It's weird that like someone like Michael Ian Black wrote this movie. That was sort of like kind of interesting too, because I mean certainly like you view it in sort of like a just sort of a I guess some sort of a downgrade or just like not as an interesting course, but it's kind of interesting in the sense that he's sort of writing something that's for a lot more people than like some of the other stuff that he's written, and it's not something that's bad too. It's something that's nice.
Mediocre. Hooray!
I hate it when he
writes good stuff for only me. I love it when he writes mediocre shit for everybody.
Seth,
it was. If it was moderately worse, I wouldn't have liked it. You know, it wasn't fantastic.
For me, what really did it was the cousin character, her northern cousin.
Oh, the guy from Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, and he just was funny, regardless of sort of the content. I think.
I think he's probably the best example I can give of like the scuzzy sidekick.
Yeah,
because a lot of these comedies sort of have just a scuzzy, reprehensible friend sidekick, and he was legitimately like.
a good person.
A good enough character to warrant his existence. Yeah, exactly.
I would point out that first off, the only thing Michael Ian Black's ever done besides this that I've seen was that show Stella, which was really bad.
Yeah, it's not too good.
So I don't come into this with any sort of Michael Ian Black pro partisanship.
What about I Love the 80s?
He writes a lot of his own material on that.
That said, I liked it a lot. I really enjoyed it. And I think that I thought that actually the only parts of it that I didn't like, I didn't like the representation of him hitting the wall very much.
I actually did like that.
Well, I wasn't crazy about that, but pretty much everything else I was on board with, I thought that it could have stood to be a little less formulaic at points, but it executed it well enough that I enjoyed it.
Wait, Homer, what do you think?
Oh, I'm also with Chris. I really, really did like it. Yeah, just going back to the wall thing. Yeah, at first I wasn't a fan of when he hits the wall, but then there's this nice little bit at the end with the visual representation of seeing him so outside that almost kind of brought a tear to my eye.
I liked that a lot.
That was really nice.
Yeah, so I wasn't happy with it at first, but when I saw where it eventually went to it, I was very, very pleased. But yes, I really liked it. I do have a bit of a soft spot in my heart for romantic comedies. The one thing that, I mean, you can really fault for romantic comedies for, they're pretty much one of the most formulaic genres you can really put together. And
maybe next to the horror genre.
Yeah, and just, there's an overwhelming sense of sentimentality in romantic comedies. Mm-hmm. And just, I mean, this plays by, it uses all the standard stuff to build a romantic comedy, but for, I mean, just there's those rare occasions where, like, it kind of is able to put it together much better romantic comedies fall into. And I was, you know, very pleased. And, just because, I mean, the Simon Pegg character is just the perfect amount of being kind of a jerk without you like starting to hate him.
Right, yeah.
Because, I mean, it's really kind of great since he's able to start so low without you hating him. Mm-hmm. It's just when he finally triumphs, and there's just more of a triumph there for me. And just, I was very, very pleased.
No, yeah, exactly, because I mean, he does this like really sort of really terrible thing at the beginning of the movie, but then like you see him later and you see that he's still part of his son's life, and you see that he's got a really good relationship with his son too.
Yeah,
I mean, and you know, you start to like him.
That's
and
a then nice by thing the end, too. It's nice too that you don't. That he does have a nice relationship with his son. Yeah. I mean, it would just be so easy to make that be a problem in the movie, an obstacle for him, that his son hates him, and I'm glad they didn't.
Connor?
Well, there's just little details I was going to say that I think that put this movie a step above just a rentable romantic comedy, you know, like that at the beginning. Like, he really, like a lot of movies, romantic comedies just like to say that this character is a bad character, or, you know, this character has troubles, but this movie kind of really showed it with him leaving her at the altar at the beginning. I think there's just little details throughout that made it better.
Another big thing that I was a fan of was how they handled the Hank Azaria character.
I was going to say, that was great.
I mean, he's very much shown as like a good guy at the beginning, but then they slowly kind of showed his weaknesses and this stuff, and you're like, oh, this guy isn't too good.
What was great about that, what I really liked about that was that he's an asshole in the way that real people are assholes, you know? Like, it's easy to have a character who just, you know, 10 seconds into seeing him on screen, they're like, you know, spouting forth obscenities, but I mean, he's the kind of guy who's like just so condescending, but with a smile on his face and cheerful. And I feel like the people I encounter in my life who I don't like, that's how they act, and that really wasn't true. I like that quite a bit.
Yeah, that works pretty well. I mean, I think he's less real near the end of the movie.
Within the movie,
he gets pushed to that point, which is
it's still all just a joke at the end, like when he's like watching Simon Pegg win on the.
I don't think that was outside the realm, because then
you finally get his comeuppance and you get to see him kind of suffer. But
that was fun.
I don't think
I like watching Hank Azaria suffer.
I would say that probably my favorite moment of it was when it was like painfully obvious that Hank Azaria is going to propose to Libby.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get a shot of Simon Pegg realizing what's about to happen
that was one of those really good details.
That was one of the moments that just sort of really made me like this movie. That whole party scene, which is really good from top to bottom.
That scene
where he's realizing that Hank Azaria is proposing, that's a very good
one. Even the conversation he has with her on the balcony.
I like that a lot.
My problem with that was that the the audio was all looped. It sounded bad to me. And yeah, really? And the wind was blowing, and I assumed that was the problem, but it feels
there's
like
a continuity error.
Well, you don't get the same quality of acting after the fact in the studio that you do. Yeah. And I really disliked when they were talking about St. Peter's Cathedral, and you can kind of see it in the background, but you couldn't actually see it at any point. And then there was one point where Hank Azaria just sort of walked in front of the camera early on, and you just sort of saw his back, or the screen went black. Yeah. for no good reason. I don't know that about.
I guess I credit that to David Schwimmer being a director for the film. Not that makes it okay.
It's kind of nice that there was an actual visual style that he had. Which is something that's very missing from romantic comedy. There's not really any it's just pretty much A goes connected to B to C. I got a movie.
I usually do see a kind of distinct little visual style there.
Really? You've been around enough directors, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely true, because a lot of actors turn directors just want to take it very seriously. They don't just want to make a straight movie, typically. I think they want to make it special, because it's their first game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You see George Clooney.
Not every movie's Good Night and Good Luck.
I just mean a distinct style. I don't mean necessarily good or bad. There was a lot of parts of David Schwimmer's distinct style in this movie I did like, but it was definitely a distinct style.
The title is so bad.
Yeah, it's a terrible title.
It's not a good title. But I mean, the romantic comedy genre is not a genre that I particularly enjoy that much.
Well, it's a pretty awful genre.
I do like this movie. This movie. It's not like it's not quite High Fidelity, but
it's not quite.
High Fidelity is a very good movie, but I like this movie.
I think we should discuss how hot the girl was, the daughter of the landlord.
She was so hot.
That, pretty hot. She was really distracting because I kept thinking, there's got to be a way to work her into this movie. Because I don't know. She just seemed like so much better looking than his girlfriend and stuff. It's sort of.
Well, he should probably marry her.
He's really hot too.
We were all kind of hoping the scene where he runs in, she's on the bed. We're all kind of hoping she's going to get naked somehow.
Then we all realize it's PG-13.
That was another thing.
All he got is ass.
Right. A couple times.
You got a lot of male ass in this movie.
A couple times I felt like specifically they cut out when the Indian guy was swearing. They bleeped that out, which was...
It's funny because I found the bleeping part funny, and then I realized it's completely out of place. It's all of a sudden I was in Arrested Development for 10 seconds, and I was taking it out.
I wish.
One thing that did catch me a little off guard is that you don't get the sense that the little back room where they're playing cards at is that, that hardcore a group until presumably they were gonna shatter his friend's hand in the piano from losing the bet.
This is one of those moments where a movie gets 1,000 times darker than it
Yeah, because there was no music
playing. For 5 seconds. Yeah. Yeah, there's no music.
Well, I was just really glad because it was trying to get dark. When they're about to hit his hand, I was very glad.
When I realized how dark. Yeah,
it went away from that. Yeah.
That would have been crazy.
They were the most ethical crime bosses ever. The guy didn't have the money to pay them when he thought that he had lost, but when they lose, they still pay him.
Everything is lock, stock, and smoking. There's some good crime bosses out there.
I also enjoyed the black transvestite a lot more than I thought I would. His initial appearance. The initial appearance of him, I was like, it was pretty funny. I got a laugh through my teeth for when he holds up the bra.
That was one of the jokes that I distinctly did not like.
That was pretty cheesy.
I wanted to laugh, but nobody else in the theater was laughing, so I hid my laugh.
So your assessment of Run, Fat Boy, Run, not that bad. Your assessment of Doomsday, fucking sick. Do you like Doomsday more?
Oh, yeah, I like Doomsday more.
Okay, well.
Well, I mean,
that's incorrect.
Sometimes evil wins.
Doomsday is just a lot of fun, and Doomsday, I feel like, accomplishes the goals it sets out for itself much better.
That doesn't necessarily mean it's a better movie.
Today, I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Well, I mean, it's also a better movie,
despite its content and acting and writing.
All right, well, rate it? 1 to 10?
I will give it a 6.
I'm going to give it 7 artificial bellies.
God.
Yeah. I will give it a 7 for now, yes.
I'll give it a 7 as well.
I'll give it a 6.
But you liked it.
Yeah, I liked it. That's 6. Bullshit. 5's okay. 6, I like it. 5's
okay.
When I was 12, I was running to the lunch line, and I was a little overweight at that point in my life, and someone said, run, fat ass, run.
Really?
And it was like a bully at school. I hated that guy. But anyway, I always said if I were to write like some lame, cheesy drama about my like experiences with weight, I'd call it run, fat ass, run. Really? So I'm very upset that this movie has stopped.
You can
still take it.
Oh, no. Who was the bully?
His name was Jason Naranjo. He went to Redwood. You guys might have known him by
now. Suck on that, Jason Naranjo. You're a dick, and we all think so.
Now millions of people hear that you're a dick, Jason.
It was a similar childhood experience that made Sean so upset when he realized he couldn't use the title Norbit.
I would give the movie a 6. Unless you're giving it a grading scale, like Kevin said, then I'd probably give it a C or a 7.
Well, figure out your own system, and then
figure out
the system. It's a 6.
Don't just follow me. Don't just do it based on how I do it.
To be fair,
your own people.
Taking time to figure things out while we're recording is probably one of the reasons. I have a feeling a lot of this might be unusable.
We'll see.
Don't downplay our COD.
Our cod pieces. I never downplay my cod piece. It has to be big enough to hold my enormous junk.
Up next, forgettable villains from forgettable films. All right, the moment we've all been waiting for. Forgettable villains from forgettable films.
Give me a name.
Fuck you! That's my name!
Stumpy Joe.
Agent Smith.
Frau Blücher.
Kaiser Soze.
Illinois Nazis.
Rocco. Mad Dog.
Mother.
Gunroger.
Kittredge.
Wanda. Willa.
Wilkes!
You can call me Susan if it makes you happy.
Sebastian Kane.
God.
Just plug that into your Google. I'm sure if you type that into IMDb, you'll probably get like a bunch of crew members named Sebastian Kane before you'll get the character, but...
Yeah, is that from Hollow Man?
Yeah.
Okay.
played by Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Goes invisible, then goes nuts.
That should be the tag.
Ghosts are dead.
I'm very much alive.
You have no idea what it's like.
The power of it, the freedom.
It's amazing what you can do when you don't have to look at yourself in the mirror anymore.
The title of each individual episode, that's where we should... The title should just be the title of the movie we're talking about with the word pod inserted into it. Run. So this would be Run Pod Boy Run. or Run Fat Pod Run. Or Pod Fat Boy Run. Or Pod Fat Boy Pod. Or Pod 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 Pod.
You still missed some of the possible
options. All right, fine. Pod Fat Pod Pod. Pod Pod Run Pod. Wait, no, pod. No, pod, pod, boy, pod. Pod, pod, pod.
All right, everybody set their piece?
Yeah.
I think we can close this one up.
So
happy Easter to all you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
See you next time, non-existent audience.
Yeah. In summation, a bad movie.
A great movie!
That was a good summation.
Yeah, you said it was mediocre.
We're getting a 6.